Earlier in the week, we were talking about the One Mile Jetty in Carnarvon. The community got together last weekend to farewell the old jetty and share memories of the significance it played in many people's lives in the community before it was demolished and rebuilt to again serve the Carnarvon community. There are so many stories and people's lives that are tied to the history of the jetty, but one story I wanted to share with you. Joan Seth was born in the lighthouse keeper's cottage. Her dad was the lighthouse keeper in the 1940s, and I spoke to her to hear some of her story and what it was like growing up in a lighthouse.
Yeah, well, my dad's name was Herb Freeman, and he was the lighthouse keeper for 20 years, and I do believe that he was the longest lighthouse keeper. And the last four lighthouse keepers were all in my family, so, you know, we've sort of got a pretty good hold. and the last lighthouse keeper was my brother-in-law. I've sort of worked out that my family has probably had the longest lived experience with the jetty, having lived at the lighthouse and on the island for more than 40 years. It was just the best childhood, just the absolute best childhood. The jetty was the lifeline of the town when I was a kid, with the state ships coming in and bringing in supplies and taking back to Perth sheep, wool, fruit and veggies, passengers, of course. I was only there until I was nine. I was only at the lighthouse till I was nine because Dad passed away when I was 9 years old. But Mum and I still moved. We had to move out of the cottage, but we still lived on the island until I was about 16. And, you know, my swimming pool was the sea. The island was my backyard. It was just absolutely fantastic. It was just, as I keep saying to everybody, it was the best life. You know, playing in the sand dunes, building cubby houses in the bush. And we wouldn't come in until it was either dark or we were hungry, whichever came first.
When people think about lighthouses, there's kind of like this romanticism around them. You know, like there are many movies, songs, poems, stories, all written around lighthouse and lighthouse keepers. You lived that experience. Tell me about those early years when your dad was the lighthouse keeper. You're talking about it being the best childhood. What were some of those things that you remember?
Going fishing with Dad, helping Dad go down the jetty and help him light the light at the end of the jetty. There was probably only about maybe six or eight kids from memory when I was young that lived on the island. There was only about four or five families. Yeah, it was just the best life. There's so much, you know. There's just so much that I could tell you, but I've never done this before, and I'm going blank. you know, going crabbing. Sort of the lighthouse itself was a different lighthouse. It wasn't the brick lighthouses that everybody see. And even before the lighthouse was knocked down, people would come and say it's so different. But we weren't isolated like a lot of lighthouse keepers are. We still were able to walk into town. It was about 3 or 4 miles, but we were still able to walk into town across the railway line. That's how we went to school. But, yeah, just the lighthouse side of it, I think, that it was just my home. And my fondest memories are going crabbing, going fishing, pushing sheep down the jetty to the the boats, you know. Yeah, all that sort of thing, and going over and watching the sheep in the stockyards over the back from our house. Yeah, it was just, I could go on crabbing. You know, I can remember going down the jetty crabbing with a couple of other kids from the island, and every time we pulled in the net every 5 minutes, we'd pull in at least six or eight crabs, and you'd see the crabs just coming in like herds of cattle in those days. It was just, and you know, fishing, we'd always, always come home with a feeder fish, always. Yeah, but just having the freedom of being on the island and being at the lighthouse.
We never ask a woman her age, but what years were these?
I'm 77. I was born in 1944.
So this, you're talking sort of early to late 40s. These are the years that were, you know, the formation of Carnarvon, basically.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Dad went up when the Cormorant sunk to Sydney. Dad went up and helped bring the prisoners back from up at the Cobba. You know, diving off the jetty. It's sort of, we used to dive off the very beginning of the jetty, but that doesn't sort of probably mean anything to you because you're probably, have you been to Carnarvon?
Of course I've been to Carnarvon many times.
Yeah, well, we used to dive off the very beginning of the jetty because there was a first beach and a second beach. Yeah, we used to dive off the very beginning of the jetty. You know, second beach was, that's where we spent Christmas Day. We'd all, the Babbage Island family would go down to the second beach with their picnic and we'd just sit under the jetty all day and the kids would swim and play and just be there all day long because it'd be too hot to be home.
You said that your family, there's been four lighthouse keepers, or the last four lighthouse keepers were from your family. How did your dad become the lighthouse keeper at Carnarvon? Like, how does one, you know, start a career as a lighthouse keeper?
That I'm not too sure about, but my mum came out from England at the age of 18 and she went straight out to Martathuna Station as a nanny. And that's where she met my dad. He was a sandalwood cutter at the time. From there, he worked on the main roads, and my brother and sister, which are quite a lot older than me, they were born out in the bush somewhere. I don't know where, probably at a main roads camp, or I'm not sure whether mum came into town or what, I'm not sure. And it was from there that he became a lighthouse keeper, but I'm not exactly sure how he became a lighthouse keeper. His uncle was the lighthouse keeper before him. So whether when Uncle Sam died, Dad just took over. And then from Dad was his brother, Uncle Sid. And then when Uncle Sid passed away, it was my brother-in-law, Frank Logan, that took over. So I'm guessing he would have just taken over from his uncle when he passed away, because he was the first one in our family that was a lighthouse keeper.
So it's a family tradition, yeah.
It seemed to be very much a family tradition, yes.
Obviously, the event on the weekend was saying farewell to the old jetty and, you know, saying welcome to what will be the future of the jetty. How did that make you feel on the weekend? Like, what were some of the emotions that brought up for you?
Oh, gosh, very emotional. I'm starting to get emotional now. Just realising that at last something is going to be done. Because, you know, I cut my teeth on that jetty. It was just so much part of my life. For not just my 9 years before Dad passed away, but forever. You know, like a lot of people in Carnarvon, it was just a big part of our life, going down there fishing and things like that. It was just very, very emotional for me in just so many ways. Very emotional.
And how are you feeling knowing that the jetty is going to be rebuilt?
Oh, gosh. Over the moon. Absolutely, yeah. Over the moon. You know, if they'd given me 10 cents for every time I've run up and down that jetty, chasing schools of fish, crabbing, fishing, pushing sheep down the jetty, helping Dad or whatever, I would have built the jetty for them. They never gave me any money. But, you know, that's how I feel. I'm very passionate about it. But I'm not the only one. You know, there's just so many people in town that are. It's just so much a part of their childhood.
Joan Seth there. She's a Carnarvon local and was born in the Lighthouse Keeper's Cottage, talking there about her memories of the One Mile Jetty.